This is CES Tech Talk. I'm James Kotecki with one of the many fascinating conversations recorded live at CES 2026 in the C-Space studio. After you listen to this one here in your podcast feed, you can find the full series on the CES YouTube channel. Enjoy. Hey, welcome back to the C-Space studio. I'm James Kotecki here at CES 2026, and I am here with one of my favorite longtime all-timers, one of the greatest guests we have here in the C-Space studio, Duncan Crabtree Ireland, who is the National Executive Director and Chief Negotiator of SAG-AFTRA. Welcome back. We were talking, this is like your eighth time chatting with me.
Thanks so much for having me back. It's always so fun to talk to you.
It's so great because we've had you at so many different CESs, and I think as I was thinking about our conversations, they've really charted the course of how this technology has progressed. I think you were flagging some stuff maybe back in some of our earlier conversations that you were worried about that now a lot more people are worried about and talking about. So it's been great to have these conversations with you and learn what you're thinking. And I'm curious about, first of all, SAG-AFTRA, we should say, is the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of
Television
and radio announcers.
Artists.
Yes, okay, yes, artists. Yes. And so basically it's the actors union, right, that people know.
Actors, broadcast journalists,
yes.
And also musicians, singers, recording artists.
So you are a labor union. It is 2026. We've seen you in the news in the last couple of years, obviously, when there was the strike going on. That was a big deal. But what does it mean for you to be a labor union right now as technology is kind of reshaping everything?
You know, I think the role of unions is more important than ever. And I think we are seeing that in the resurgence of interest in the American public, in workers, especially with unions, because you know, as corporations become bigger and more powerful, as technology is being deployed by these companies, a lot of times without involvement from their workers, people are saying, wow, we really need to join together and stand up for ourselves, otherwise we're just going to get run over.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's concerned about AI taking their job or taking giant tasks or totally redoing their job or making it easier for other people to do their job, right? Do you think So we've chatted for many years. Let me zoom out and ask you an attitude question. Are you an optimist when it comes to how you think about, can technology build a better world for all of us and have everybody work together in a way that actually, you know, makes sense and makes us all happy?
I've been accused of being an optimist, and yes, okay. I am. But I think it's justified optimism. And the reason I say that is we humans decide how this technology is implemented. So really, it's up to us. I mean, AI is not implementing itself, at least not yet. Technology is not implementing itself. Yep. We're designing it and we're choosing how to use it. So if we can make better choices, mm-hmm. then absolutely I think we can you know, reap the benefits of AI without having to suffer all of the very predictable negative consequences that people have been talking about, not just this year, but for years.
And have you seen a shift, whether it's within your union or maybe just in the broader world, in terms of perceptions on AI? I mean, even just since the advent of ChatGPT, which was many people's kind of first impression of AI or what it could mean for their daily lives, do you sense a shift in the last few years in terms of public or internal union perception?
Well, definitely there's a lot more knowledge and interest about it. People recognize that it is going to have relevance to virtually everyone. I think at one point people thought, oh, this won't affect me. I'm a this or I'm a that. That's not my thing.
Right.
And now I think everyone sees how AI, you know, if it's not deployed in the right way, it could come for any and all of us.
So what are you thinking about right now? What are your priorities as a union right now at the beginning of 2026?
Well, you know, 2.5 years ago when we were in the middle of our strike and our negotiations, we were really, really focused on the use of AI to digitally replicate people.
Yes.
And we still are, and we were successful in achieving a lot of rules in our contracts about that. And actually, collective bargaining and unions have been really one of the fastest ways that meaningful, real rules and limitations have been put in place. Having said that, we're working really hard on the public policy front now as well. And I hate to tell you, but we are literally about to begin negotiating the next round of that same contract. So it starts in February, on February 9th, with the studios and streamers. And AI will for sure be an important topic there. Probably shifting focus towards synthetic performances, the idea of creating a whole performer from a generative AI model as opposed to replicating someone who really exists. It has a whole host of different and really challenging issues.
And you come to CES, I understand in part at least, just to understand what the cutting edge of technology is so you can be aware of it and learn about it. Where is the cutting edge of technology when it comes to this synthetic performance issue? I imagine there are some people who would like to just prompt, make me an action movie like Rambo, but a little bit different with bunnies, and just hit enter, and now it's done, right? So like, how How close are we to this? Is that even possible?
Well, we're a lot closer today than we were 1 year ago when you and I were talking.
Wow.
With, you know, things like Sora 2,
yeah.
things like, you know, Nano Banana being able to generate, right. you know, video with synced audio. It is a real concern. Now, we're not there yet, and there is still some protection from what they call the uncanny valley, you know, which
yeah.
is the idea that you get close to reality,
yes.
but not quite there, and it's repulsive, which I think all of us can experience.
Yeah.
We can't rely on that as long-term protection yeah. for the creative world and human creativity. So we're not. And that's where public policy, that's where collective bargaining, and that's where just educating the public and our members is
yeah.
coming into play.
This is maybe a psychological question, and maybe it's not even fully possible to get an answer, but I am really for myself struggling with the idea of perception. If I perceive that it was created by AI, do I think about it differently? Whereas if you didn't tell me and I thought it was human created, I would think one way. And then if I found out later it was AI generated, I think another way. I wonder if that just speaks to, like, there's two souls that are communicating. If you create some art and I consume that art, our souls are somehow communicating in some way. Again, getting very philosophical. Am I on the right track here with, like, why humans matter in this process?
Yes, and I think if you just want to see an example of it, this is why people care so much about seeing live performances. I mean, why do people
yeah.
pay to go to a concert? Why do people want to go see, you know, live theater? It's
yeah.
because there's a connection there that's special. And I, you know, on an example of public policy, just a couple of weeks ago, the governor of the state of New York, Kathy Hochul, was in our offices in Manhattan signing a bill, the first bill of its kind, to say that when someone creates a commercial using a synthetically generated performance, that has to be disclosed so that you don't think that it's a human endorsing this
yeah.
product or selling it to you mm-hmm. when it's actually an algorithm.
Do you have now predictions about, because your predictions I think are pretty good. Do you have predictions about the future of performing and the work that's going on in your field that other people might think is implausible, but you're, you know, on the cutting edge, so you understand this and that you believe in?
Well, the first thing is I do think that we're going to see, as time progresses, more and more importance put on that human connection. And that's true not just in live performance, but it's also true with respect to things like advertising,
yeah.
with respect to things like influencers and digital creators,
yes.
with respect to just even film and television and streaming, because there is a connection that takes place with audiences. And, you know, if you want one example of this that I'll just put out there, if you think about how current streaming series are promoted, the kind of social media interactions that the stars and the cast of those projects have really can help drive the success of that project.
Yeah.
That's something that's not going to be authentic or really happen with algorithmically generated yeah. performances.
Yeah.
So I do think that we're going to, you know, the public will expect real connection in all of these areas.
That's interesting. I was listening to something the other day where they were talking about, like, the job of an actor more and more is to go out and promote them. I mean, it always was that, right? But now so much of the media that is consumed around a movie coming out, I'm thinking about Wicked, for example, so much of the story was actually around the press tour and the influencer kind of aspects of that. And I think that makes sense that it's going to be harder to automate or AI-ify than even maybe the performances in the movie, which is wild.
And when you use an algorithm to generate something like that, the chance of you getting something truly creative, spectacular, and unique,
yeah.
it's just yeah. not there. And I mean, so there is no algorithmic Cynthia Erivo. There is no algorithmic Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
There just isn't. And I don't think there really ever will be. So really what's important, I think, is for us to recognize how meaningful it is to all of us to have something really unique, creative, and special. And that's what makes yeah. us excited about what we do.
And when I think about, you know, someone having their special gifts, they could think about licensing that, right, from an AI training perspective. Or maybe that's something that they would need to give consent to or not. I guess what I'm getting into is a question around training data and how Sora 2 and all these things actually produce the stuff that kind of convinces us. And it's like, oh, that's getting pretty good. What's the union's position on using performance data for training?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say it is wrong and we think illegal for companies to scrape content, copyrighted content, off the internet and use it to train AI models without permission, without yeah. consent, without compensation. That's just flat out there. Now, are they doing it? 100% yes, they are doing it. And that's why there's all kinds of litigation going on.
Yeah.
We don't know what the result of that litigation is going to be, but what we do know is that if these kinds of works that have been created in the past are going to be used by models to train these massive and very financially successful, like, corporate endeavors, they ought to be getting permission and they ought to be paying for them. And so we stand with copyright owners in fighting that battle.
As we look ahead now to 2026 and the next round of negotiations, are there other issues that are going to be coming into play there, and how will technology be impacting? Because I know that, for example, in the last one, AI was one of the major issues. It wasn't the only one. So where do you see the kind of tent poles of the contract negotiation there?
Well, for sure. I mean, there are so many other important issues. And so I know we talk a lot about AI. So people might think, oh, that's the only issue. It's not.
Yeah.
Basic economic fairness is a huge issue, I think, for everyone in our society and certainly for our members as well. Yeah. Their wages are compressed. Their work opportunities are reduced. Yeah. And frankly, there's a lot of work that's been leaving the United States. That's a real concern for us.
And the economics of the streaming business, which we also talk about a lot here in the C-Space studio, are presumably impacting that.
Absolutely. We did make some changes in that in the last negotiation that have been very helpful to our members, including the streaming bonus program, as well as changes to the timing and the sort of exclusivity during hiatus periods between series, some improvements to the health plan. But fundamentally, there are still challenges in that area, and we definitely have to address that because, you know, streaming means fewer episodes, longer gaps, and it's fundamentally problematic. But we're definitely focused on those bread and butter issues, as well as the sort of long-term AI impact.
Well, Duncan Crabtree, Ireland, SAG, AFTRA, so glad to have you again. If I had a trophy for an awesome guest, I would give it to you.
Woo.
Maybe next year, which will be our 10th year doing the C-Space Studio, I'll bring something special and we'll have another conversation.
That would be
just
amazing.
Want to entice you to come back once again, human to human,
see you
the way
the
it should be. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation from CES 2026. I know I did. That's our show for now, but there's always more tech to talk about. So make sure you stay tuned for more insights, conversations, and content from CES 2026 and beyond. Please follow, subscribe, like, comment, whatever else you need to do to keep those algorithms happy. You can get even more CES at ces.tech. That's ces.tech. Our C-Space Studio episodes are produced by Nicole Vitovich, Julia Ruxer, and Paige Morris, and recorded by Phelps Creative House, and edited by Phelps Creative House, too. I'm James Kotecki, talking tech on CES Tech Talk.